Samarbetsorganisationen för invandrarföreningar i Uppsala. Sänder nyheter för dig. SIU med mångfald på agendan sedan 1986. Lyssna idag eller när du vill på SIUs hemsida siuppsala.se. Lyssna på ditt språk eller det språk som du väljer. Svenska, arabiska, spanska, dari, persiska, turkiska, somaliska, kinesiska, afariska, amahariska, sorani, tigrinja från Eritreanska förbundet eller tigrinja inslag från Eritreanska kulturföreningen. Du kan också ta kontakt via telefon på 018-6945-80. Radio SIO finns också på Facebook. Vi hörs! Veckans nyheter från SIU. Den 29 september var SIU ordförande med och invigde den nya multikulturföreningen som öppnar sina dörrar i Bålsta, Håbo. Hamad Issa, ABF:s verksamhetsutvecklare, har tagit initiativ att etablera den här nya föreningen. 1 oktober, Internationella kvinnokaféet har haft en föreläsning om valet, alltså valet 2018. 2 oktober var det möte med två nyanlända företagare. 2 oktober var det en svenska kurs för nyanlända och det var också en datakurs för äldreprojektet. 3 oktober var det möte med projektet Sträck ut din hand mot min hand. 3 oktober var det också möte med Almi. Möte med en ny grupp för samhällets remontering. Möte för äldreprojektet i Gottsunda. Och en kurs på svenska för nyanlända. Den 4 oktober var det extra möte med Uppsala kommun angående projektet matlagningskurs. 4 oktober, SIU deltog i en föreläsning om rasism i Uppsala kommun. 4 oktober var det också kurs på svenska för nyanlända. Och ett så kallat torsdagskultursamtal. 5 oktober, kurs på svenska för nyanlända. 5 oktober, datakurs för två nyanlända grupper. 5 oktober, möte med processkoordinator, avdelningen för social hållbarhet. Och den 6 oktober var det datorkurs för 4 grupper nya anlända. Lokala nyheter. Första spadtaget taget för miljardbygge vid Ångströms laboratoriet. Denna förmiddag togs första spadtaget för att bygga ut Ångströms laboratoriet vid Uppsala universitet. Kostnaden väntas bli över 1 miljard kronor. Ångströms laboratoriet ligger vid Polaxbacken i Uppsala och samlar universitetets verksamheter inom ämnena fysik, kemi och teknik. Det ska nu byggas 2 tillbyggnader där studenter, lärare och forskare ska kunna mötas över ämnesgränserna. De lokalerna är inte ändamålsenliga längre för studenter och forskare, säger Ingela Nyström. Det handlar om en ny kubformad huvudbyggnad och en flygel som ska tillkomma. Det här bygget väntas kosta 1,1 till 1,2 miljarder kronor. Och byggprojektet är den största satsningen som Akademiska Hus och universitetet någonsin gjort tillsammans. Detta enligt ett pressmeddelande från Akademiska Hus. Källa P4 Uppland. UL har betalt 2,2 miljoner för ett trasigt tåg. Ett av de 4 tåg som UL har hyrt in för att trafikera sträckan Uppsala-Sala lämnas nu tillbaka efter att ha stått obrukbart i nästan ett helt år. För att bemöta det ökade trycket av resenärer mellan Uppsala och Gävle så flyttade man tågen från sträckan Uppsala-Sala och ersatte dem med inhyrda tåg. Det har inte framgått i våra egna besiktningar av tågen att de skulle vara i så dåligt skick. Det är lite som en bil som blir godkänd i en besiktning men som sedan drabbas av fel som man inte räknat med. Det säger Sture Jonsson. Det finns inget undantag i kontraktet för tåg som blir stående på verkstaden och därför kommer UL troligtvis att få betala för alla fyra tåg, trots att det bara är tre som varit i bruk, säger Sture Jonsson. Eventuellt kan man komma att diskutera priset, säger han. Källa P4 Uppland. Kraftigt ökad befolkning i Uppsala län väntar. Fram till 2040 så finns det en prognos att Uppsala län kommer öka antalet invånare med 78 till 447 000 jämfört med år 2017. Det här motsvarar en årlig befolkningsökning med 0,8%, vilket är mer än de 0,6% som SCB har gett prognos för riket. Samtidigt så minskar nettomigrationen kraftigt från 3400 personer 2017 till 300 personer 2040. Det här är två av slutsatserna i Region Uppsalas befolkningsprognos. Källa Region Uppsala. Så riksnyheter. Villkoren för arbetstillstånd för högkvalificerad arbetskraft måste ses över. Många företag konkurrerar om högkvalificerad arbetskraft på en global marknad. Yrken som är centrala för viktiga exportindustrier i Sverige. Staten behöver underlätta för den eftertraktade gruppen att etablera sig i Sverige. Det visar en ny rapport från Myndigheten för tillväxtanalys. Till skillnad från många andra länder har Sverige ett generellt system för arbetskraftsinvandring. Det är alltså inte specifikt inriktat på invandring av högkvalificerad arbetskraft. Här menar vi att regeringen bör överväga att tydliggöra för universitet och högskolor att de har en roll att spela. Att de skulle kunna bidra till att internationella studenter får lättare att etablera sig på den svenska arbetsmarknaden. Det säger Anne Kolmodin, analytiker på Tillväxtanalys. Källa Statskoll. Visstidsanställda är mer missnöjda. Nästan 3 av 4 är i stort sett nöjda med sitt arbete och 7 av 10 anser sig ha ett intressant och stimulerande arbete. Detta enligt en rapport från Arbetsmiljöverket. Men uppfattningen om arbetssituationen skiljer sig mellan tillsvidare anställda och tidsbegränsat anställda. 1 av 4 tidsbegränsat anställda är rädda för uppsägning jämfört med 1 av 10 av de fast anställda. Drygt hälften har monotona arbetsuppgifter. Nästan 16% av arbetsmarknaden utgörs av tidsbegränsat anställda. Källa SVT Text-TV. Ulf Kristersson får uppdraget att försöka bilda regering. Talmannen Andreas Norlén har gett Moderaternas partiledare Ulf Kristersson uppdraget att försöka bilda regering. Det meddelar han på en presskonferens. Kristersson har en majoritet i riksdagen som anser att han ska få sonderingsuppdraget. Han leder också den konstellation i riksdagen som avsatte den sittande regeringen, säger Norlén. Källa DN. Samarbetsorganisationen för invandrarföreningar i Uppsala sänder nyheter för dig. SIU med mångfald på agendan sedan 1986. Lyssna idag eller när du vill på SIUs hemsida siuppsala.se. Lyssna på ditt språk eller det språk som du väljer. Svenska, arabiska, spanska, dari, persiska, turkiska, somaliska, kinesiska, afariska, amahariska, surani, tigrinja från Eritreanska förbundet eller tigrinja inslag från Eritreanska kulturföreningen. Du kan också ta kontakt via telefon på 018-6945-80. Radio Sio finns också på Facebook. 30 september har tre poeter från Sydafrika besökt Sio. Poeten Amer Sarsour har intervjuat dem på Radio Sio.
Okay, my fellow people of South Africa. It's so nice to have you here in Sweden. This is RIU. It's Samarbetsorganisationen för invandrarföreningar i Uppsala. Och you know me already, Amel Sarsour. And we have Zaki on the mic over there. And with me I have... I want you guys to give your own presentation, but I will just tell to the listeners already that these are brilliant minds that we have in the basement right here with us. So the first lady is
Busisiwe Mahlangu. I'm from South Africa, just as Amr said. We are all from South Africa. I'm a poet and a writer, and I also perform. Yeah.
And I'm Afrika Wagamukati. I am a poet, a translator, and a whole lot of other things that involves the arts and music.
Greetings to the listeners. My name is Flex. I'm a performer, I'm a writer, and event organizer as well. It's really good to be here.
And behind the camera, what's your name, Bruce?
Hi, everyone. I'm Ishmael Sibir, and I am an organizer, co-founder of Hear My Voice, which is a youth poetry organization based in South Africa.
Okay. So I was thinking that we just had a conversation about what I don't really know, but I believe we can explore certain things, like why are we here for the first, like I went to South Africa through Jonathan B. Tucker. He was a friend with Ishmael. Ask, yo, somebody can pull the strings to make this exchange. I was like, okay, I know one person, Maria, from Regina Theater. And all of a sudden, I was in South Africa meeting you guys. And for me, it was like, wow, like poetry took me here, you know? Just the thing. How do you see on that? How do you see, like, the poetry taking you around, like, through the borders, you know? Different places.
Okay, so this is the first time that I am traveling outside South Africa, and it's so exciting that it's because of poetry and the work that Hear My Voice has been doing in South Africa and with Sweden as well. For poetry to take people places, like people traveling because of poetry, it gives me hope, and it makes me see that the industry of poetry is actually being built, and it's getting better and better. Like the work we put in the country, the work we put in places where we go to, it's all important, and I feel like it's coming together, even like with different artists doing different work and advocating for different narratives. I feel like it's coming together, and that in a couple of years, maybe poetry will be seen as a stable industry in the country. Like, you know, poetry is mostly like freelancing, and it will be nice to see it as a stable career.
Well, I would say it's a privilege to be traveling. So yeah, but for for a creative person to travel, it means that your work is expanding, that you are you're increasing ears who are willing to listen to your work. And for me, as a cultural activist, it's important to get to understand other people's cultures, you know. And my work speaks about language and how it has transformed lives and how it's still transforming lives and touching on cultural perspectives, which is a very important part of my life. And I really believe that it is necessary, you know. I mean, for us to come this far and also having conversations that need to be sparked in the African, within the African continent, it simply means that, you know, coming together, there are means for dialogue, for communication. You know, some of us still believe that one day, hopefully, when we are, our hair is not too gray, we will be able to have a United States of Africa with one language. You know, we're getting closer, and starting these conversations, you know, outside of the continent, and seeing the same challenges that we are facing within our continent, it just says, wake up, you know. It's happening everywhere in the world. But yeah, it's good to travel. You get to experience new people, new audience, and confront your work as a creative. Yeah.
It's really dope, man. You know, and I'm noting now that, you know, we are not the only poets that are traveling because of poetry. I know Lebo Masango is also in New York. Currently, I know Modise is in DC, you know, so it's good that South African poets are touching the world. But, you know, there's many a people in the world, you know, so just to be able to travel, you know, is important because it means you get to connect with people, you know, you get to distinguish, you know, between the two countries, you get to learn more about people. So we are privileged enough to be afforded the opportunity, you know, but it's almost as if to travel, you know, is merely just, you know, going into yourself and learning who you are, you know, because the more you travel, the more you learn about yourself and the more you curate more work, you know. So it's dope in that sense. So we are privileged to be here. I've enjoyed the conversations thus far, I must say, and hopefully with years to come, more young poets will be able to travel as well and tell the same story, you know, because it's all about telling our beautiful stories, telling them ourselves, because for the longest time ever, these stories were being told for us, yet these are our stories, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And just to elaborate a little bit on how this has become possible. As you mentioned, it's through connects, people that you knew, who you've worked with before, and people that I worked with, specifically Jonathan, who linked us up together. So the whole Sweden, South Africa poetry exchange was pretty much a project that was funded and supported, highly supported by the Embassy of Sweden in Pretoria. So they believed in the vision of getting young youth voices out of South Africa and bringing young Swedish voices to South Africa as well. So this is the first year it's been taking place, and it will be taking place again next year. This year we hosted you along with Olivia Bergdahl as well as Henry Bowers in South Africa for a two-week exchange. We also were privileged enough to host Athena Farrokhzad as well, like 4 weeks ago. And here we are here today with some amazing voices, which include my co-founders in Hear My Voice as well, and the amazing Busisiwe Matlangu over here. Right. And Busi is amazing. She is the current champion of the Tswane Speak Aloud Youth Poetry Competition, one of the most rewarding poetry competitions in South Africa at the moment, giving out almost 40,000 SEK. Is it SEK or SEK? Yes, SEK, right? A Swedish krona. Yes, in prizes as well. So it's really amazing that we are able to take such young voices, such amazing voices from our country to your beautiful country, which is Sweden. And we hope to continue this exchange going forward.
Hopefully throughout the world, you know? Hopefully throughout the world, because I noticed that you said something about like the cultural activism.
Yes.
Would you like to elaborate that?
In South Africa, you know, I mean, we have 11 official languages, and all of them wrapped around a different ethnicity, you know, and cultures, which is involved. Now, creativity coming to place. Now the English, yes, but yeah, that's it. Goes part with the whole cultural activism part, which is language in my space. Language is one of the most important cultural aspects, and for one to fully express themselves, you know, emphasizing on that, it's the language part. And once you want to learn the language, you want to learn the phrases of the language, the idioms of the language. Now that's where the cultural part, you know, comes in, you know.
Told us yesterday about the
song. It comes to that, and I have a poem, you know, which is a cry for people to love their mother tongue so much. And I speak about, well, you know, I speak about a brother who wants to learn the English language to an extent, you know, that he wants the 11 a.m. tea with scones. Now that's where the cultural part comes in, you know. So drawing to our space, our language, our culture, it's very important. And with us in South Africa, I mean, the Rainbow Nation, we fully understand that it is possible to be an individual, have your own language, have your own customs, have your own religion, be and not interfere with what is happening around my space. And it's one thing that the world needs to understand, that we don't have to dilute each other's cultures, behavior, religion so much. Let us all be, you know, in our own spaces. We can still connect either way, but there must be somehow, you know, that you allow a person to be and not interfere. So if we're having coffee now and there are no saucers, that's how it is, and that's how you see fit. Let us allow you to be.
Lovely. Does you, like... Is it difficult to be in South Africa? Like, I can sometimes think in Sweden is they will let you be, but the eyes won't let you be. You know, they have like this look on their faces, like, this doesn't fit in here. You know, and it comes from many different ways. You know, it comes from the Swedes to the immigrants, from immigrants to the to people that acting like more deviant from their own culture, from these people to other people. You know, I can see a lot of it. You know, so what do you think is the key to like? Not tolerate, maybe accept that we are different, and that we can live. So I have two questions. So what's the key for it, and is
the key
it?
To coexist.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think it's an important question that you ask, man, because we start off with the premise that coexisting is a difficult thing. You know what I mean? Because of the social constructs that have been built throughout the years, you know, I think as a people, we are meant to exist, you know, together, you know, without borders in our heads, without borders in the world, you know. But what the world has come to now makes it very difficult to coexist, you know. So from that premise alone, I think it is absolutely necessary to travel, to connect with a people, to understand, you know, because there's a lot that's happening, unfortunately, and it is how it is now, you know. It has been embedded throughout the years, you know, but the little that one can do for humanity is to understand, you know, even when conversing, to listen from a perspective of trying to understand is the least that one can do, you know. There'll always be subliminal messages, you know. There are a lot of things that are said without being spoken, you know. Right now we're visiting Sweden, we could be walking past, you know, people, you know, something could be said without nothing being said, you know. Those things exist in the air, you know. It's what it happens, but it's not so much about what happens, it's how you react to it, you know what I mean. And because we are a beautiful people, I think we need to give people the benefit of the doubt, you know. People go through the most, and we need to be kind. You know, someone can wake up one morning and be on some, you know, I don't like you, you know, and you have to try to be kind always, because people go through things, you know. And I think that's the premise, man, you know, just to.
The second question that I had. Yeah. How do you find your way to live with that in South Africa? Is it like a big problem in South Africa? Are there difficulties to coexist? Is there a lot of like, you have 11 national languages? That says something. That is at least 11 different groups, you know, that they that live and work and everything over there. So how do you find a way to coexist in South Africa?
I think after democracy, somehow, you know, the Rainbow Nation left a couple of building blocks to that. Because of it was, much as it was illegal for interracial marriages, it was somehow forbidden for people who speak a different language to be married for a Mopedi person to marry umZulu, you know, because of the apartheid system, thought they will create a blend that is unnecessary. But we are living together, we are learning the languages, and is gelling quite well, because of we have come to a point where we see beyond color, beyond language, but we see a human being. I think with that mentality, it is open also for the LGBTI community to exist, you know. Back in 2008, 2009, for also mosque mushrooming in the township, you know, the idea of not having concentrated refugee camps, but for everyone coming outside of the borders to be part of the community. That system really helped us to come together, for different ethnic groups to come together and see beyond skin color. It's still a challenge, you know. Cervical racism is still there, all sorts of things, but it comes to your word, tolerance. I think there's a high, thick layer of tolerance that is there, and it's for me, it's important. It's
okay, amazing. I mean, I have, like, I see that we're on the clock. It's we have to wrap it up, but I have a last question over here, and it's I believe that. Like Busi, your poetry is a lot about feminism, like about the women's right to own their self, their own stories, the their own womanhood and to define it, if I understand you right. Like, and more Africa, you have this, like you said, this cultural activism in it. And Flex, you just, you know, you're doing your thing amazingly. No, but you have like deep dimensions that is very reflective. That's why I also believe that why you should link up with Moose, with Moose Dawa, because his music as well is a producer from Malmö in Sweden. His music is very reflective. You can listen to it. It's like, damn, you hear some thoughts in it, you know. And I believe Flex is the same. But what I feel is what my question is that what's the importance with resistance in poetry? What do you think? Because I believe that every one of us has that in us. So what's the importance with it, do you think?
So like when the importance of resistance in poetry, I feel it's number one, to quote from Audre Lorde, she says like poetry is not a luxury. So poetry becomes a space of resistance. And that is important because if you resist, then you can be, you know? If you resist and you say, this is wrong, you know, this is not right, and you want something else. And sometimes in the process of resistance, you do not know what freedom looks like. You do not know what it feels like. But poetry gives you the language. It gives you the language to say, this is not right. And I think having the language for communicating, for having space for ourselves, is very important. So poetry gives you that language, gives you the knowledge, it makes you observe, look around you and see that this is not right. And I feel like it's very important because it's the beginning of conversations. It's you communicate with yourself, amongst ourselves, and to the world as well.
Thank you. Let us hear more.
Thank you.
I think she said a mouthful.
Does she speak for everyone?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You have something you want to...
Just to echo some of her sentiments. You know, resistance is a firm stance. You know, when you write poetry, you are communicating that which you stand for, you know. And I think it's dope that you opened with the quote by Audrey, you know what I mean? We're actually discussing this earlier, you know, because resistance is also a form of, what's the term? Protest, you know what I mean? So the fact that I'm saying no to something, I'm also protesting. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think she spoke for all of us. So, yeah.
Award-winning. You know that's big. Okay. Then that was the last question I had. I will. Okay. A quick poem from one of y'all. Which one? From Africa?
Busi.
Okay. Okay, when the police come to arrest him, tell them to put handcuffs on the door. This house is a culprit, watching us bleed without moving.
That was good. Do you have like other short ones like this? No?
Yeah.
Do you have one?
Yeah, my mother cannot swim. I cannot swim. It makes sense. We have always preferred land.
Okay. That was good. Thank you so much. Thank you that you came here and spoke with us in the basement. This is Radio CU. and Zaki is the one that's behind the scenes. Thank you so much that came over here. Peace out.
som kan se vad vi gör och förstå vad vi menar. Du söker efter mer än du ser, men jag ser att du ler och jag tror att du tvivlar. Vart jag mig i världen vänder står jag här med tomma händer, längtar efter något som kan rädda mig. Vart jag mig i världen vänder står jag här med tomma händer, längtar efter något som kan rädda mig. Vi låtsas på riktigt från hjärtat och drömmen. Kan vi vakna med tiden och samsas i sömnen? För vi lever alla med känslan att falla, och i tomhetens botten står vi på toppen. Vart jag mig i världen vänder står jag här med tomma händer, längtar efter något som kan rädda mig. Vart jag mig i världen vänder står jag här med tomma händer, längtar efter något som kan rädda mig. Vart jag mig i världen vänder står jag här med tomma händer, längtar efter något som kan rädda mig.
Ja, det var veckans nyheter, och jag som läste heter Signe Rydberg Selin, och i kontrollrummet sitter Assis. Ha en trevlig vecka. Vi hörs.